Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Every once in a while, we do these episodes where I check in to make sure that I am not being a bad chaplain on this show. Usually, in like every other part of my career, you have like a break room where you can turn to another teacher and be like, this is my problem, student. Like, how do I handle this situation? All of the kids didn't do well on this test. How did I structure this wrong? But chaplaincy is not something that you watch other people do. And so I wanted to check in with one of my favorite chaplains, one of the chaplains who I respect most in the world, and just sort of tell him what I'm up to and see if he can potentially give me some feedback as to ways I could do that better. And luckily, it also happens to be one of my best friends, Mauricio Bruce. Mauricio is a therapist. He has worked with local tribes in Peru and has become a shaman with the Caro tribe in Peru. He's from Costa Rica, and there he trained to be a therapist. And now he is getting his master's in divinity from Harvard Divinity School. So he has all of the credentials. And I'm just lucky enough to have known him for half of my life. So I asked Mauricio if he would set aside some time and check in with me and sort of be my chaplain break room buddy. I'm Vanessa Zoltan, and this is Should I Quit? Hi, Mauricio.
Hi, Vanessa.
I'm so excited to have you here. So you are not just a friend, you are also a chaplain and therapist. And so I'm calling you today because I've been doing Should I Quit for a couple of years now, and I want your opinion on some things.
I'm here for it.
Okay. Before I ask you my questions, though, can you just talk to people a little bit about your approach to your work? How do you think of therapy? What is your goal with your patients or clients?
Yeah. So if I think about this as simply as I can, my goal is for us to tell our stories differently. How can we learn what stories we're telling about ourselves and how those stories could be damaging or limiting or stopping us from doing or being who we want to be?
Yeah.
And how can we understand those stories to learn to tell them to ourselves and to the world differently? My training is as a transpersonal therapist. And so I do involve spiritual beliefs and spiritual life quite a bit. And I don't necessarily mean that as just religion. A lot of people think when we say spiritual life or spiritual beliefs, it means we're going to talk about religion and I'm not religious. So that doesn't work for me. No, it's about the things that you believe that are outside or bigger than you. Even when people say, I don't believe in anything, that's a belief. And that's a story that shapes how you see the world and how you see yourself within that world.
Can you just give me an example of like what a healthy story is that people tell about themselves?
Oh, but it'll depend person to person.
Sure, totally.
I would say let's go as general as possible. Like a healthy story would be a story where the power of who I am is in me and I'm not giving it to other people. Basic, this is simple, but I'll be really happy when Vanessa is happy because I'm just all about Vanessa's happiness. Like in that story, my happiness depends on you. And so for me, that's a problematic story. We need to understand why I am relying on you and on your happiness in order for me to be happy and start to tell a story where like, I'm really happy when Vanessa's happy. But when Vanessa's not happy and I'm concerned for her and I'm there to help, I can still be happy also. Like, what's the way to shape those beliefs so that the power is here with me and not all over the world out there?
Yeah. And I just want to make this distinction because I know you. That's not to say that you don't believe that people are in, what's going on in their lives doesn't impact them. It's not like you're like, the cancer is really about a mindset that you have.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. I just want to name that. They don't know you. I know That's you. Fair. They That's don't know fair. You. I just wanted to say it. Okay. So this is where I need your help. In my very first episode of Should I Quit, or one of my very first episodes, this woman who I adored named Eleanor came on. And Eleanor was deciding whether or not to stop using her husband's name after being married to him for like decades, specifically on her PhD. And I was like, okay, let's visualize this. You are like signing your diploma and you're signing it Eleanor married name. And she was like, okay, I visualize it. And I was like, okay, and now you're signing it Eleanor maiden name. How did each of those things feel? And she like, it helped. She was like, oh, it felt the same. Either I'm my husband's woman or I'm my father's woman. Like, actually, I want to use my married name, you know, and it was much more meaningful than that. So I got addicted to that. And I do that to people all the time. I'm like, okay, picture yourself 5 years from now. Best case scenario, worst case scenario. Does this work? Am I hustling people?
I love the question, and I love that you think you're hustling people.
I don't think it. I'm worried about it.
I think the question in a way answers itself because you've been using it so many times and you've seen it works.
I've seen it have an impact. That doesn't mean that it's helping them get to a more productive story about themselves.
But so let's think about it this way. When people visualize, in a way, that image that they're creating, you know, Eleanor is visualizing herself signing one name, and then she's visualizing herself signing the other, and she's putting both of those stories in front of herself to try and understand which one she wants to live, right? Because there's a story there about my name and my power, and I want to be able to, like, know that this is my PhD, and there's a really interesting story there probably.
Right.
And then once she lives the outcome, she sees both of them are fine, that her story, I'm going to keep using that word and we can change it, but doesn't have to do with those names, has to do with something else in here that that she wants to feel. And the visualization helped her understand that. I'm a big, big, big proponent of visualization for all kinds of things. I think being able to picture something, I can feel a little bit of what I'll feel if that were to happen. And that can give me sort of emotional or contextual clues as to which direction I'm being pulled to go in. And so for me, the exercise of putting my brain in that place helps me make a decision. I think it's probably one of the easier ways we have. Because if we think about it too much, if we just go to the thought place, oh, what about it, this? What does it mean? And so this, we might get confused. But when we see it and we have a body reaction, it might be really clear to us what we want to do.
Yeah. You know my friend Jen Chow Fontan?
Yes.
She does somatic work. So she's always asking me, she was like, well, where do you feel that in your body? And how does it feel in your body? Is that what you're talking about with visualization? That you're like, oh, that made me feel like I couldn't breathe. And I felt that in my chest. What do you mean? What is the sensation that people are having when I make them visualize?
So let's just focus for now on the imaginary case of Eleanor changing her name. And I'm going to say the imaginary case because I don't know Eleanor, nor am I talking to her. And so I'm going to imagine an Eleanor, but this is an easy case for us to talk about.
Right.
When she pictures her maiden name, she might go, oh, that's cute. I remember when I was named that, and not feel very much. When she pictures her married name, she could go, oh, that's who I am. That feels really safe. It doesn't necessarily mean that she'll feel something in her body where she'll say, oh, my chest feels tight, or my stomach, there's a hole in my stomach. She could feel those things. But she might just be able to distinguish between feeling safe and feeling nothing. And that safety might feel nice enough for her to want to take that path. Somatic, I would love for everybody to feel in their body. I think the body is a great place for us to feel. But not everybody is as, quote, body aware as that. And so some of the feelings we might just interpret as, oh, that's safe, or that's warm, or that's, and I'm not placing it at any place on my physical body, but I can still sort of understand or imagine that feeling. Does that make sense?
Totally. I need to ask you one more question on this, though, because we've used this great example, this real example of Eleanor, but Eleanor's question, you know, was just so specific. It was a beautiful question that obviously symbolized a lot, but it was a very specific question. And often I have people on the podcast who are asking much more abstract questions, like, should I move away from Chicago? Should I move away from Texas? Should I move away from Nova Scotia? People want to ask me about where they should live a lot. Should I quit this job? Right, where like the other thing that they're moving toward isn't specific. Yep. And I'm just like, imagine your life 10 years from now. You live in Nova Scotia. Imagine your life 10 years from now. You don't live in Nova Scotia. Like, what is visualization doing there, and where are the potential, maybe, pitfalls?
Yeah, I like that question a lot. Let's pretend you're moving to Chicago and you've never been there.
Uh-huh.
Right? You've just gotten a job offer in Chicago.
Yeah.
And so you're considering whether to move there or not. If I ask you to visualize what your life looks like in Chicago, that would be a really hard visualization for you to do because you've never been there. You don't know what Chicago looks like. You don't know what your life there might look like. So for you to place yourself there might not be helpful, because really what you're going to be doing is placing yourself in a fantasy version of what you think Chicago could be, or in your fear of what Chicago could be, right?
Yeah.
So it's really important to understand those pieces. I can't ask you to visualize yourself in Chicago. Oh, imagine what you'd be like in 10 years living in Chicago. Because what you're going to want to do is either go to best case scenario or worst case scenario, fear or joy, but really not Chicago.
I would be on the Bulls.
Oh, yeah. You'd be the
point guard.
Point guard. I'm really into basketball. Big fan. So I'd say you were going to be the shooter.
Exactly. So I go to best case scenario or worst case scenario.
Here's where I'm going. I'm not really interested in best case scenario or worst case scenario. I'm more interested in you understanding what's your fear and what's your hope. So rather than me trying to visualize Chicago, which I have no way to visualize, what are you afraid of if you move to Chicago? Oh, I'm afraid that I'll lose my friends. And then you start, there's a place to visualize there. I'll be far away from my friends and I'll be alone. And what's the best things that will happen if you move to Chicago? Oh, I'm really going to have the satisfying job. And then we can start to create a thing to visualize. Maybe you'll be alone at the beginning a little bit, but you'll be at this very satisfying job where you might meet other people. And then we can create a thing to put into the body. But before that, if I just ask someone to visualize living in Chicago, there's no real way to understand that image that they're coming up with. And so it might not be as helpful from my point of view. Does that make sense?
Totally. Or it could be like based on a movie that's set in Chicago, but was actually filmed in Toronto. And then they're visualizing Toronto. And then they move to Chicago and they're like, what's happening?
Disappointed. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's my other set of questions. I am very anti-suffering. And so a lot of what I do with people, I'm like, is that what you actually want? And they're like, no. And then I'm like, well, then put it down and don't do it. And I like hit their hands. And I'm like, is this what you actually want? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, then great. Who cares that it's not what you thought it was going to be? It's going to disappoint other people. Like, you got to do what you actually want. But like, if somebody decided to go to grad school because they are very sure that like with this degree, they can do certain things. But then on a day-to-day basis in their bodies, they don't want to go. My instinct is like, don't go. Like, I'm anti-suffering. And like, there's nothing wrong with wanting to stay in bed and watch TV. You're going to find another way to have a job that supports you. Or, you know, if somebody is like, I made plans to go to a party and now in my body, I don't want to go. It's raining and I'm cold and I'm tired. This week was a lot harder than I thought it would be. And if I go to bed early tonight, I can go on a run tomorrow and that'll make me feel better. I'm like, don't go to the party. But then they become a less reliable friend and their friends can't trust that when they say they're going to come, they're going to come. Anyway, I just want everybody to do what they want all the time. But I also don't. I want people to live up to their values. I want people to suck it up. I just, my instinct is always like, if you don't want to, you don't have to.
Yeah. So I'll talk about this from a place that I think we only do what we want. And there's a lot of things that we say we have to do. And I'll put an example that's pretty simple to understand. Like, we have to pay rent. Because if I don't pay rent, then they kick me out of here. But if I explore that deep enough, I want to stay in this place. And so I want to pay rent to be able to stay here. So in that example of the friend who doesn't want to go to the party, I would be really curious to see what part is it that they feel they have to do and what part they want to do. I have to go to this party because if not, my friends will think I'm unreliable. Oh, okay. So the story, I want my friends to think I am a reliable friend, seems to be pretty important. And you're using it as an obligation. Oh, I have to go to this party and I don't want to. And I'm dragging my feet. But there's this other story about I want my friends to know that I'm reliable that seems to have more priority in your list of priorities, like your interior list of priorities. So I would want to explore their have to's. You know, I have to get a PhD in order to be good at what I'm doing, but I hate going to school every day. Why do you feel like you have to get a PhD? Oh, because I just think it'll make me more reliable at work. Blah, blah, blah. And that seems to be highly prioritized inside of you. And so can we get to a place where I want to do the PhD and I'm comfortable staying here, going through this, because this is in my list of goals for my life. Does that make sense? So it's trying to understand sometimes those have to's that are feeling really uncomfortable inside of me and why I'm pushing myself to have to do that. What is the want behind that is usually my question.
So this is not meant to be an infomercial for the class that we co-run, What Matters, which is our 7-month like close reading, self-exploration, storytelling workshop that we run. But, you know, the way that we design that class is that we want people to spend 7 months thinking about what values they want to live up to so that they can train themselves to default live up to those values in any number of ways. And I hadn't thought about it like this until what you just said, but like, we're training people to try to figure out their deepest want. And they're like values-based want, right? Like, I want to be reliable, or I want to be someone who prioritizes my alone time, right? Or my freedom, and like figure out which of those are their biggest wants. And I hadn't thought about it before.
I would even say, because some of these people don't even know that they want those things. So it's opening up a space where they can start to think about these questions and start to understand what it is that they want and that they've been working towards, sometimes unconsciously in their life, right? Like, why they've been doing some of the things they've been doing. And then they realize, oh, it's because I want safety. And I hadn't thought about it before, not consciously at least.
Yeah. So it's helping them even just like unearth the thing that.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's okay for people to do what they want as long as they know what they really want.
That's always my goal. Like,
yeah,
do what you want, but understand why you want it.
Right. What if I judge what I want?
Yeah. You judge it as selfish or as a bad want or like I shouldn't want this or.
Yeah. Like is shallow. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, we can talk about it. Like, I'm like, I want to be rich. And like, I can justify it and be like, what I actually want is a sense of safety and security. You know, I've watched my parents have a tough retirement and I want a safer retirement than that. And I want weekly massages. And part of that is because I am in pain a lot. And like, so I want to not be in pain, right? Like, under the wants of like money, there are these like better wants.
But bigger like, stories.
Yeah. But like, I also don't want to be rich. And like, what if I have like two competing wants? I want to be safe and not in pain, but I also want equity in the world.
Yeah. So we talked about, or I mentioned briefly, sort of your list of priorities, the interior priorities with which you sort of organize the world. And we'd have to take a look at those. Because when you say, I want to be rich and I want to be pain-free and I want equity in the world, we would have to sit down and try to understand in your list of priorities, which are above and which are below. Usually, things like safety and health are higher up on our priority list than the safety and health of others. So we would have to see the story. Like you just mentioned or talked a little bit about the story underneath that. Look, I have seen my parents. And so that's the story that's there in my life. And I want a different story. And so I want to have a safety blanket. I want to have security. I want to have money to be able to tell a different story. And if there's judgment behind that, it's probably coming from another place of values or of stories or beliefs that have been instilled, right? Like, being rich is evil. The I don't know. We'd have to,
look,
but like,
eat the rich.
I think to answer your question, it's all about priorities and those priorities inside us. And those are learned. We've learned what to prioritize and what to put above, what to put below. And if we understand those, we can also understand why there might be some guilt or some feelings within your wants.
Okay, well, one of the things I definitely want is to stay friends with you for the rest of my life. I love you so much. And I think it's so cool that our lives have like grown in some ways in such parallel ways. Like,
yeah, I agree.
We became friends at 20 in improv. And like, it's wild, right?
No, I know. And it's interesting. You were funnier then and you've gotten less funny and I've gotten more funny. So
have you? I think I have gotten less funny. Interestingly enough, I think it's because my priorities have we don't have to talk about this. Okay, I love you so much. And y'all, I will say, now I got him here, What Matters includes a class with Mauricio, like 9 class sessions with Mauricio, but it also includes 3 one-on-one chaplaincy sessions with Mauricio. And it makes me really proud that it's the thing that people like best about the class. It's one of the times in my life where they're like, Vanessa's cute, but Mauricio. And I'm just like, yeah, Mauricio is the best part of this class. And so I love you so much. And thank you for spending this time with me.
Thank you for having me. I love having these kinds of conversations and I love having them with you.
You've been listening to Should I Quit, our latest season of The Real Question. Our show is funded entirely through our Patreon at patreon.com/realquestionpod. If you enjoyed today's episode, we would really love your support so we can make other great episodes like this. Another way that you can support this show is by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you are listening. It is free. It takes 30 seconds. You can tell me how pretty I am. Everybody wins. You can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Real Question Pod. We love our BFF tier patrons, Molly Reilly, Becky Boo, Jenny Cruz, Amanda Schramm, and Shannon Sheehan. We are a Not Sorry production. Our executive producers are Caitlin Hoffmeister and me, Vanessa Zoltan. We are edited and produced by the great and good Ariana Nettleman. Our music is by Nick Bull and we are distributed by Acast. A huge thanks to Mauricio Bruce for joining us today. If you loved Mauricio, you can follow his work and you can also look into our class, What Matters, by going to notsorryworks.com. And thanks as always to our wonderful team, Julia Argy, Nikki Zoltan, AJ Yaramas, Hannah Rehack, Margaret H. Wilson, Courtney Brown, Natalie Folkerts, Fedius Reyes, Casper Turkile, and Stephanie Paul Sell.
Thank you. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.